control your damn cat, or I swear to God I'll throw him overboard, he said with a half smile. I don't believe you. I didn't look up from the mackerel I was cleaning. Deep down, you're really fond of him. Besides, he's not my cat. Lucullus thinks we belong to him. As if agreeing with me, Lucullus let out a long, loud meow and then jumped off the bunk and swaggered toward me in his feline way, waiting for some fish guts to land in his bowl. Prochenko shook his head and went back on deck, leaving me alone with my thoughts. I looked at my calloused hands, covered in fish scales, and laughed bitterly. A year and a half ago, my life was completely different. I was a respected lawyer living in Pontevedra in northwest Spain. I had a family, friends, and a cushy, very middle-class life. I was tall, thin, and handsome, some said, with a great future ahead of me. The shining offspring of baby boomers, born with a flower up my ass, as my family used to say. But my little world had had its downsides, too. Not long before the pandemic, my wife died in a traffic accident. I slid into a black hole of depression and almost didn't climb out. Despair and guilt had me in a chokehold. Why had I let her drive on such a stormy night? I almost turned my back on my job, my friends, and my family. Those months were an alcohol-soaked blur. Looking down the barrel of a shotgun sounded like a good idea. It'd be easy, fast, and, if I did it right, painless. Then Lucullus came along. Worried about my descent into a personal hell, my sister gave me an orange Persian kitten. What the hell had happened to my sister? Where the hell could she be? Surprisingly, her gift did the trick. Taking care of that kitten helped me get over my self-pity and move on. Then at Christmas time a year and a half ago, the hell unleashed in Dagestan dwarfed everyone's petty problems. Like most people in the West, I'd never heard of the former Soviet Republic deep in the Caucasus Mountains in Central Asia. The tiny country's Ministry of Tourism should get a fucking prize. Posthumously, of course. For 2 weeks, while the planet still had media, that little republic was all anyone talked about. Anyone still alive knows the story all too well. A group of extremist lunatics from neighboring Chechnya got it into their heads to steal some Soviet-era weapons for their jihad. They successfully broke into a munitions compound, but all they got was worthless shit. Instead of AK-47s, grenades, RPGs, and ammunition, they found a nearly forgotten Cold War vintage laboratory guarded by a dozen soldiers. All it contained were test tubes, flasks, and some high-security freezers plastered with warning labels in Cyrillic. In frustration, the pissed-off Chechen leader ordered his men to trash the place, including the freezers. That was the stupidest and the last order he gave. Less than 15 minutes later, he and his men were infected with the TSJ virus that had been waiting quietly for over 20 years in a flask inside that freezer. Just 48 hours later, the virus had spread throughout Dagestan. In just 2 weeks, it was racing out of control across the globe. By then, the guerrilla leader was dead, or rather, undead, unaware that he'd unleashed the apocalypse. Humanity was wiped off the map, all because a band of wannabe jihadists couldn't read the warning labels on a freezer. As the TSJ virus swept throughout the world, things happened fast. The little virus proved to be the worst kind of bastard. It was extremely contagious and lethal, plus it was genetically programmed to keep spreading even after it destroyed its host. TSJ's creator was one of the top virologists in the Soviet Union, but he'd been dead and forgotten for a couple of decades. He'd had a brilliant career as a bioengineer. The TSJ virus was the apex of his scientific legacy. After he died fleeing to the West through West Berlin, the project was purged and all his experiments were stored away in freezers pending a reevaluation. Because of the heavy-handed Soviet bureaucracy and later the fall of the USSR, his work was forgotten. Until that fatal day. Dying of the TSJ virus was a hard way to go. First, its victims languished in terrible pain with violent convulsions.